is the Create Your Own Life Show, episode 745 with Zoe Abbott.
We've all been taught different things, even as kids. Like, I started noticing it like this, these concepts like money doesn't grow on trees, you know, money is the root of all evil. We get told these things and based off of like something that seems like a truth or something, but then it just universally like seeps in and it ruins people's mindset because it gives them this concept of scarcity, like it's difficult to make money or have money or that there's something bad about it. And all of these things I feel have to get stripped away because I meet people who are like, well, I'm really great at this, but I've never been really that great at money, or I'm great at making money, but I'm not great at having money or managing it or whatever. And so people develop all these types of like mental blocks.
This is the Create Your Own Life Show, where we interview people that are world-class performers, from Super Bowl champions to New York Times bestsellers to billionaires. We figure out what makes them tick and unpack it for you to do the same. I'm Jeremy Ryan Slate, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we help you to create your own life. Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Jeremy Slate here, and welcome to this latest episode of the Create Your Own Life Show. If this is your first time joining us, welcome and excited to have you here. If you've been here a while, thanks, and I appreciate you being here to check out each and every episode of this show. And today, we're going to dive into the world of controlling your finance lines, controlling your money, controlling your life in the right way, and some strategies around that. I'm very, very excited for the guest that we have with us today. She is a good friend of mine. You know, I was very lucky to get a chance to speak to her on this topic because she's somebody that's very, very passionate about it. Our guest today is Zoe Abbott, and she really came from a place where she watched her father suffer from bankruptcies, from difficulties in business, and from struggles in money, and it was really, really hard on her. And she made the decision that she really wasn't going to let that happen to not just herself, but anybody else. And I just find people that are mission-driven like that to just be totally incredible. So we're going to talk about how she discovered her talent for the finance world, why her firm has grown so fast as she's now one of the largest in the country. We're going to talk about the M word when it comes to finance, and then we're going to talk about how to properly run your money so that you can, you know, either get out of debt or control those things in the right way. This is going to be a very interesting episode and a very applicable episode. I know sometimes things with money and controlling finance, people look at it, they say, oh man, that's boring. But here's the thing, it's one of the most important things you can learn. And this episode puts it in a very easy to understand fashion for really anybody that's looking to create their own life. Because in creating your own life and doing it at a world-class level, you gotta control your money, man. Like, you have gotta control where your finances are, where they're coming from, your inflow, your outflow. You have to run all that properly. And this episode is really a boot camp to doing that. So I'm definitely excited to share that with you and to share with you what, you know, that world-class type of growth looks like. But everybody, before we jump into this episode, I want to quickly tell you about today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Audible. Audible is offering all Create Your Own Life listeners a free month of their service, as well as a free audiobook download. Right now, I am reading The Storm Before the Storm by Mike Duncan, the beginning of the end of the Roman Republic, about the transition from the Roman Republic to the Roman Empire. As you know, super nerdy, but I absolutely love it. So if you want to get that book or any other book for free courtesy of Audible, you can head over to jeremyryanslate.com/book. That is jeremyryanslate.com/book. Also, do not forget to subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you choose to listen to your podcasts. And while you're over there, everyone, leave us a rating and review as well. So pull out your mobile device right now and leave us a rating and review, because as you know, I have a big mission to help a lot of people, and you can help me do that simply by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show. And when you do that, I'll actually read that review on the air, as just because I appreciate you so much taking the time to do that. And today's review comes from Adam Scheibel. He says, Jeremy always brings it. Inspiration is always great, but inspiration combined with action is the magic sauce. Jeremy always brings that with his show. hit the subscribe button and dig in. Thank you so much, Adam. If you want to hear your review read on the air, open your mobile device right now, leave us a review, or head over to ratethispodcast.com/CYOL. That's ratethispodcast.com/CYOL. All right, everyone, without further ado, let's get into this interview with Zoe Abbott. Welcome to the Create Your Own Life Show, Zoe Abbott.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been following you for a bit on social, and I know you're doing some amazing stuff in the finance world and just doing like a total lady boss. So thanks for hanging out with me today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I want to kind of start, Zoe, and kind of like lay the groundwork for what we're going to talk about today. And I guess, how did you get interested in the whole world of finance and helping people that are really struggling to understand even how money works?
So my background was I actually did nonprofit and counseling for over 10 years. Wow. Yeah. And so through that experience, I found that there were two main areas that were pain points for people and that they were really ruined on. And that was sex and relationships and money across the board. It's like everyone had their things, but those were like the biggest issues that people would bring up in counseling and talk about constantly, or, you know, number one reason that like divorce and marriages would fail. Depression, all sorts of stuff. And so it was very real to me through that experience that this was something that I could make a really big difference and help in this area. And I got pregnant with my daughter. And at that point, I had to find an income, a way that I could, you know, create income and so forth. And so this seemed like a natural area that I could really help with, because I saw that there was such a lack of education, tools, and help in this particular arena. That, and then just on the personal side, I grew up raised by a single father, and he was an entrepreneur. And I actually experienced and went through three bankruptcies with him while I was growing up. The first one happened toddler, and then when I was like 13, and then when I was 25, and he was 52 when he passed away of a stroke mid his third bankruptcy. And so I went through all of this. I experienced extreme highs and extreme lows. He never got really good advice on his taxes. He never got good advice on credit. He always battled with credit issues. He made lots of money. He lost lots of money. He was never a great saver. He just really didn't have the tools. And then when he passed away, he didn't have any, like, he never put any life insurance or estate planning in place. So I literally had to live every aspect of finance personally. And so it really is a passion for me, just from my background and my experience, to really help people with these areas.
Well, thank you for telling me that, because I really appreciate that, like, you've taken something that was difficult for you and you struggle with that, and you're like, you know what, damn it, I don't want that to happen to somebody else. And I feel like that's really, really powerful when you take your struggle and your pain and you turn it into the way to help other people.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And it really does make this business for me is so much more of a crusade and a passion. I'm very fortunate to have built the success that, you know, I have. I've only been on Instagram for about 7 months or so. And so I I'd already built a really successful business, international even. I have offices in all up the East Coast, and I'm expanding into Canada right now. And so I'd already really established myself and created a really successful business before I even opened up a social media account. It's a whole nother world now, but it's really cool. Like, I've been able to connect up with some really amazing people. That's how I found you. And yeah, I've made some really amazing relationships through these platforms, you know?
It's really interesting to look at, Zoe, because, you know, you mentioned some of the financial education your dad didn't have. I was literally just talking to somebody, I think on Friday or Saturday night on Twitter about this. And he was saying he paid off like a car loan, and he paid it off early, and his credit score actually went down for paying off the car loan. He's like, you know, like, these things are crazy the way they work. And yeah. I guess, like, looking at it, you know, why is there no, you know, like, just even in schools or high schools or colleges, why is there no emphasis on learning a lot of, like, how to control your finance and your credit score and stuff like this? Because, like, people are just, like, totally affected coming out of school.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I personally think that if you keep a society deaf, dumb, and blind, essentially, to some degrees, you kind of can control them. And, you know, I can talk conspiracy with the best of them. And I don't really even focus on that sort of stuff that much,
right,
to be honest. But yeah, I mean, talk to people a long time ago. I mean, even, you know, in the last 100 years or something, it's always kind of worked to keep people not educated. And what my whole, I guess, mission statement is like, no family left behind. And, even though I offer all the great advice and help and services and same products that wealthy people have access to and get educated or get told to buy by their advisor to as blind trust, I actually provide all of those tools, services, and products to everyone. And I love working in this middle market. I do have clients that are that would definitely be considered 1%. I myself would be considered that, but it doesn't drive me as a passion specifically to focus on that market. And you know what? That's a very oversaturated market. I feel like there's financial advisors that are just kind of like stealing each other's clients or earning. We won't say steal. We'll say earning each other's clients. And they're just all focused on the whales. And I'm like, nah, I really feel like I can be a lot more successful just helping everyday people. And there's so many people out there that are hard workers and they really have the potential to be in the 1% and they just need some good advice and help. So yeah, I mean, I feel you. I think it's really interesting. It's like, you know, you're going to get offered student loans, tons of student loans, car loans. You're going to be sold a house at some point and you don't really learn about it. And even the type of, you know, I talk to people that are educated in finance, but you know what's really interesting that about finance is that I feel like 95% of finance is actually human psychology or like understanding how the mind works and how people work and how to, because you can make the most amazing plan for someone, but if they don't follow it and they don't understand it and they don't get it, or if it's not something they want or they know, they're not going to do it. And that's the biggest thing. I sit down with people all the time, 50, 60, 70 years old, that literally have nothing to their name. And everyone has a different thing. Well, you know, things happen that I didn't expect, or I just never actually had enough money to set aside. But a lot of that's not actually true. It's not actually true. They just never like were educated. They never developed good habits, because I can teach someone who has a very, very low to median income to be a millionaire, multimillionaire by the time they're 65, if they just adopted very, very simple habits. You know, $100 a month in a very, very moderate investment fund, not even like, you know, starting when a kid is like a little, like a toddler or something, is going to get you $1 million by 65 without even having to think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just like everything else. It's like you have to get educated on something, develop habits and routines, and then follow them. And that is the result. And people just, they don't get that education. Then they also don't develop the habits and routines. I think it is, I like to use analogies like that people understand, like it's like working out and being in shape. Like you're not going to stay in great shape if you don't constantly, consistently live that lifestyle of someone who's in good shape, which is good diet and exercise, which is a daily/weekly occurrence, right? Yeah. You could be in amazing shape, but you can let yourself go. You could be an Olympic athlete and then be, you know, a big guy with a huge beer belly the next year if you don't continue to do. So finance is the same way. If you want to be wealthy, you got to develop wealthy habits, you know?
I guess looking at that then, like I've went through a lot of the blog posts on your site, which are really good. I recommend people check them out if they haven't, which is thezoeabbott.com. But like looking at it, what is the M word when it comes to finance?
Yeah. So, I mean, the M word, you know, is basically we're talking about money. And I have 4 blog posts on my website. Like you said, it's www.thezoeabbott.com, which is my name is spelled Zoeabbott. Anyway, so it's just my name. And actually, it's funny. I've managed to have all my social media handlers. They all match. They're all Zoe Abbott, the Zoe Abbott. But anyway, yeah. So in those 4 blog posts, it's really just the basics that I go through mindset, and I go through, you know, what I teach people and what I tell people when I first sit down with them and work with them. And I feel like that's the first thing that you have to attack, because we've all been taught different things, even as kids. Like I started noticing it like this, these concepts like money doesn't grow on trees, you know, money is the root of all evil. We get told these things and based off of like something that seems like a truth or something, but then it just universally like seeps in and it ruins people's mindset because it gives them this concept of scarcity, like it's difficult to make money or have money or that there's something bad about it. And all of these things I feel have to get stripped away, because I meet people who are like, well, I'm really great at this, but I've never been really that great at money, or I'm great at making money, but I'm not great at having money or managing it or whatever. And so people develop all these types of like mental blocks and things I think a lot of people are aware that they run into certain things because they can see it in themselves. People are generally their own worst critics and also really hard on themselves. So they'll see certain things about themselves and their mindsets that really prevent them from being successful. And I think everyone knows that they're never really operating at the potential that they truly could be operating off.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that too, because I know even for myself, like I love my parents dearly, but I came from a very, you know, blue collar, middle class family where neither of my parents went to college. And like they thought like if you put $3,000 on a credit card, that was like a lot of money. So like, you know, wrapping your mind around like the different world and that different thinking on money, like that can be the hardest and biggest barrier for a lot of people. And that's really the thing you're starting with, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like people won't reach what they don't think that they can have. And, you know, there's a lot of like self-help kind of people out there and they'll all agree and they'll all say very similar things. It's like one of the things that I really focused on, you know, when I got into this industry was find people that were successful in it. And, you know, change who I surround myself with, because as much as I loved my friends and family, like if they ran into their own considerations or things that would prevent them or they had different habits, it didn't help me to increase the way that I thought my habits or my mindset. So it's a huge thing, really, you know.
Well, I guess looking at it, there's a lot of reasons that people fail with money. But I guess like looking at it, like what are the main ones that you see people consistently failing with? I know we talked a little bit about mindset. We talked about, you know, maybe your upbringing, where it comes from. But what are the biggest reasons you see people failing with money?
Yeah. So the mindset, as we went over, the next thing is the decision. I think the biggest, the most amazing thing that we all have as human beings, as individuals, is the ability to change or make a decision about anything. Mm-hmm. And there has to be that point where you want to change something about something. I've seen people never make a change because they haven't decided to do that. And then I've seen people completely redirect the direction that they're going and what they're doing and what they like, what they want, just like that, making a decision. So that's a huge thing. By the time someone's reached out to me, they generally have made a decision that they want to do something. They want to change. They want to improve. So the fact that someone even reaches out to me, they've jumped. It really is. It's a huge step because money can be so embarrassing. It can be very difficult to face. You know, just as a point, you know, like I've helped eliminate about $50 million of debt through my various. In the last like 2 years, because I didn't know, obviously, that it was going to come in the form of a global pandemic, but I could see the trends and what was happening. And I knew that something like this was going to start happening as of this year, based off of what was actually happening in the industry for the last year before it, or even more, you know. And I think, you know, people in the financial services industry were gearing up for this to occur. It's just like, who knew what it was going to be from exactly, right? Not a global pandemic. If it wasn't that, it was going to be something else, right? So anyway, so back to that. So decision. And then the next thing is plan, because people do not plan to fail. They fail to plan. And if you don't have a series of steps or actions or an idea of what you want to do, then what's the point, right? I always use this analogy with my clients. It's like when we do a financial needs analysis and we look at what do you make versus what you spend? What are all your goals and dreams? What do you want to accomplish in the short, the mid, and the long term, right? And then we work out what do you need to do to get to where you want to go? And these will always evolve. Like as you hit one goal, you're going to want to, you know, like I remember when I made my first 100,000 in a year and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
I remember that. I remember that. I'm like, oh my gosh, my parents had never made that in their lives. And I just made $100,000.
And then you hit it and then you're like, wow, 100,000 is a new minimum wage. You know,
that's not a big deal.
No, it's not, you know, and then you hit 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you're like, oh, I got to hit my million this year, you know, and that's really where. And I feel like people like evolve on a gradient usually like that. But anyway, so planning, it's really interesting because I feel like with a lot of people, finance is like they're in a huge empty field and they're just kicking a soccer ball around the field. And it's just like there's no particular place, right? But if you do financial planning, like really good financial planning, you can at least stick a goal down there. And it might be like way across the other side of the field, and the field could be like miles and miles away. And it's just a teeny glimmer. Because I know people can be very apathetic about their finance because they're just constantly hit with stuff. Like they're constantly living paycheck to paycheck, or as soon as they get ahead, something happens and they're behind again, or they're just like in and out of debt constantly. And they're just like, oh my gosh, this is, some people like literally think that the only way that they can survive is by leveraging debt constantly in the cyclic pattern. And it's hard, I know, because once you get in that trap, you know, like I tell people credit cards is literally like communism or socialism or something. Like you're literally, no, I'm serious. the reason we pay such high interest rates, like over 20% and so forth, is because the actuaries at these companies, at the banks and whatever, they already know a certain percentage of people are frauding, or they're not going to be able to pay it because people die before they pay their debt. They lose their jobs. They lose their businesses. Like unexpected stuff happens. So the reason that we do that is we've actually entered. So when you're paying your interest rates, you're paying for everyone. You're paying for all the guys that defaulted. You're paying for the fraud. You're paying for everything, right?
They're hedging their bets to make sure they have their income.
Their business, they make money. Like even when you don't pay them. And now that doesn't mean that it's okay. You have to take responsibility and you should take responsibility. If you borrow money, you should pay it back, you know, by all means. But depending on the situation the person's in, you have to make whatever is the greatest good kind of decision for them or how they should go about handling it, because they're the one that's going to be harmed the most. It doesn't matter. They're either going to be harmed by their credit being completely destroyed temporarily, or they're going to be harmed because they're going to pay 300% of what they borrowed over 30 years or whatever it is, you know? So it's like, anyway, so that's kind of like the planning aspect of things. And I really pride myself. I think I'm a different breed or type of consultant in that. And I've seen this because I really watch like the other types of, I guess, content that other financial advisors put out. And it's really funny because I feel like they've been taught so much to shrink the size of people's goals and dreams to fit their reality. And I am 100% the opposite. And my sequence of steps is totally different. So I want to know all the person's goals and dreams. And then I want to tell them what they need to do to get there. And I'm going to incorporate all of the things. I will tell someone, hey, if you didn't spend that $3.65 every morning on Starbucks and we reinvested that, that'd be $220,000 over 30 years. However, I'm not telling you that not to do that. I'm just saying if you're going to do that, you can absolutely not make the excuse that you can't also put that away. Okay. And I'm kind of unreasonable about that stuff because I'm like, you know, almost anyone can do that if they get it in a habit. I'll start with someone if they've got $10 to their name. I have literally investment accounts you can start at $10. Okay. So there really isn't. And that's where I come in because I am 100% for everyone. I don't turn anyone away. I know that I can help anyone, truly can help anybody, no matter how bad their situation is. Cause I'll even coach them. I'll work with people and get them out of debt for 4 to 5 years before I earn their business and what I really do, which is amazing. So I have thousands of clients at various stages in their financial situation. I take a lot of pride in that. So I really want to expand people to match their goals and dreams as opposed to shrinking them. And I feel like it's not against them because I feel like there's a lot of great people in my industry. I just feel like they've been educated in an opposite direction, which actually contracts people versus expanding them, because the whole idea is abundance, not shrinking. And so it drives me crazy when people are like, there's some really well-known people. I don't want to necessarily bash them, but you know, like some really well-known people that are like, yeah, you should be able to feed your family on $50 a week. And I'm just like, that just like makes
me mad. That doesn't sound interesting or fun.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I just feel like these people just shrink down to nothing. And then they're just like, oh, and that's the human psychology is completely missing there. Because people, you give them something and you add something on a gradient, they're just going to rise to the occasion. So if I can get people putting $10 away, I have one specific client I can tell you about. I started with $100 a month. Within like literally a year, we'd eliminated almost all of his debt. And now he did 200, 300, 400, 500. He's doing $500 away per month. He's in his 20s. He's on track to be very, very well off at the trajectory that he is. And he's just going to keep putting away in proportion to how much money he makes. And he makes like 5 times more than he did when I first worked with him. So like, I feel like I end up being like someone's life coach in a way. And I also am kind of their financial wife. I mean, even my female clients, I'm their financial wife, you know? So my job really is to basically, I work with about 15% of what people make in most cases, because I'm setting up their reserve accounts. I'm setting up their emergency funds, which are like a global pandemic happens. You have 3 to 6 months of reserves. And, you know, I get people's credit in beautiful condition. I coach them. Like I would have told your buddy there not to pay his car off. It does not help them. It would only lower his credit score. Because credit score is definitely, it is good to have a certain, you know, range of different types of debt. It actually helps you. And also, I mean, I want people to have good credit scores, but I also tell them, like, because some people are sitting there with massive amounts of debt and they won't do anything that they need to do with it because they're afraid of what it will do with their credit. And I'm like, okay, well, you need to weigh out importance here. It's like, is it worth spending $300,000 in interest over the next, you know, 30 years? Or does it make sense to do something more drastic right now, get it done in a couple of years? And then, you know, really everyone's got a different situation, but I'm that person that you can bounce those things off of. I also have solutions and options for everything. So that's my thing. I will give you every type of thing that you can do. And then we talk about it and we're like, what resonates with you? Like, what do you think is the best way to handle it? You know? And then I'm just kind of there the whole time.
So I want to quickly tell you about today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Gusto, and this is actually the payroll management system that we use at my company, Command Your Brand. We've used them for years, absolutely loved them, and they offer modern, easy payroll, benefits, and HR service to small business across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag, and as a listener, you'll actually get $100 free just for trying the service via an Amazon gift card if you just head over to jeremyryanslate.com/gusto and get your free trial. As I said, we have used Gusto at Command Your Brand to run all of our payroll, handle all of our taxes, all of that filing, and it makes it just a snap. We absolutely love them. So if you want to get started with Gusto and get a $100 Amazon gift card just for getting started, head over to jeremyryanslate.com/gusto and get started with Gusto today. Well, I guess like looking at it then, you mentioned like that, you know, tens of millions of dollars that you've helped people get out of, you know, bad situations like that. I guess, what is the biggest thing that you've personally learned by working with that many people?
That this is a tailored approach and that everybody has a different situation. And you're going to find that with each person, there's going to be a route that works. Like, I've even literally been in situations where it was so obvious to me what the best thing to do is, but that person really felt very strongly about how they wanted to do it. And I gave them every option. They still went that way, but I still was their cheerleader and in their corner the whole time. And I helped them make it go right to do it that way. And that's where I really realized that it really comes down to like what the person wants and what they're trying to do. And I feel like if you look at the only purpose of counseling is to make someone feel like be happier, essentially, That is really my only job, is to make someone happier financially. So, you know, whatever ways and means that I can do that is kind of what my job is, you know? So if it's making it possible so that they can redirect a lot of, you know, money or find money, so to speak, because I do that a lot with people so that they can do, you know, more things now, or if, you know, it makes them feel much better and more secure if we really set up their future really strong and solidly, or some combination, because some people are going to be a little bit stronger in different areas. Some people are really going to be very family driven and they want to create legacies and so forth. And that makes them, that really drives them. I love people like that, honestly, because I think that the most amazing things that we have in society, churches and organizations and colleges and museums and stuff, were literally created by people who planted seeds to grow trees that they'll never sit under. And I just think that that's the coolest thing in the world. You know, I'm so into legacy. It's really interesting, though, because I surveyed, and I guess a lot of my follower base is younger, you know, like my age, like 30s, 20s, 30s or so forth. That wasn't their main concern, which is interesting. So then I was like, I guess I'm an old soul. That's okay, because it's a much bigger deal for me, but it doesn't really matter, because I feel like I've got clients that range from 15 days old to 80 and everything in between. And so, you know, I feel like I can kind of get on board with whatever someone's goals and dreams are. You know?
I can appreciate that, Zoe. I'm 33. I just turned 33 not too long ago. And I get told for a long time I was an old soul because I'm like quoting songs from like the 60s and 70s. So I understand. Well, I guess then looking at it then, you've had a really cool and a really impressive like personal transformation. I guess like looking at that, tell us a little bit about that transformation. And, you know, really, how has that, I guess, helped to empower you even more to help people build that legacy?
Yeah. I mean, thanks for asking. I lost 130 pounds in the last 13
months. That is incredible.
Yeah. So I guess it's an average of 10 a month or something. Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you, I mean, so amazingly, even though internally I've always been so, I don't even know, introverted and so down on myself internally, somehow I was always able to muster enough to have enough outward drive and confidence to be able to build the business that I did, you know, I managed to build a, you know, multiple six-figure income and large successful business, being over 300 pounds and feeling like it was just painful. Like, I mean, not just physically, like health-wise, but like, because I was, you know, I didn't even realize how hard it was to live in my body and be in my body all the time until I lost that weight. And then I'm like, wow, I feel so much different. So I literally had to push through daily pain and just feeling terrible. But not just that, like when I had to get up and talk in front of people, or like I felt like everyone could see that I didn't have my stuff together, and I just felt judged so much, and my confidence level was so low. And I think a lot of it was more in my mind than anything, because I think that's the case for almost everybody. It really was, it was just ruining my life. And at some point, I just hit a point where I was like, gosh, I'm 315 pounds. I'm 5'3", maybe, on my driver's license. I don't know. I was standing up really tall.
I like to say I'm 5'7". I'm more like 5'5". I understand.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and I'm literally like, I've got my kid is like 6 years old, and I can't even like bring myself to wear a bathing suit, take her to the beach. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I'm pre-diabetic, like all these things. And I just hit a point, and then I just drastically changed my life. And it's funny because I liken my reality with how my body struggles, because I've been overweight since I was like 9 years old. Okay. And I had a lot of, I mean, I was teased incessantly. I was bullied. Even my own father really had a huge problem with it. So he could be very, as much as I love him, and I don't think it's correct to speak poorly of the dead, but sure, you know, he had a big issue with it and it didn't help, let's just say. And it was progressively got worse my entire life. It just, and, you know, and I yo-yo dieted and I lost and I gained, and I finally got a hold of it. And the biggest thing was like really getting on a plan, making a plan, which I feel like I can relate to with finance. So I was always pretty good dishing out advice on finance. So then I was like, why don't I just follow my own advice on dieting and exercise? You know, I hired a personal trainer who wasn't cheap.
And I'll say, if people check out your interactions with your personal trainer on social media, it seems like you guys have a lot of fun in some very difficult times, but a lot of fun doing it.
Oh yeah, she's abusive. You know, now I'm kind of a little autopilot. I go back and forth. I go with her, and then I've had partners and other consults in between and stuff like that. And it was a combination. It really is always diet and exercise 100%. I did have to drastically change my habits. I know as an overweight person too, you can never compare yourself to others. And that's the same thing with finance. You can never compare yourself to others. Don't just assume that someone does really well because they drive a nice car or something. And don't just assume that you don't eat much because you see people that eat tons and they don't seem to gain weight. You know, I always compared it and I was like, I don't even eat that much compared to blah and they're skinny. And that might be true to some degree. We don't have all the same bodies, right? But it never worked. I was still eating way too much. Okay. Like, it was like, okay, come, like, let's be real here. Like, you got to face reality. Don't make excuses, because people do that on everything. They make excuses on money. I've never had money to save. I'm like, yeah, okay, $10. I'm sure if you knew what you could do with it and that it would make this difference, you would figure that out, you know, or go get a job or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm understanding, but I'm also like real. Like, I will tell you how it is as well. And I think people really appreciate that. But the number one thing, I mean, my marketing team did a survey and they said, you know, the number one thing that comes up is that my clients feel that I'm caring. And that is not common in this industry at all. In fact, almost every single one of them said that exact same thing when they were surveyed. Really nice thing to know. And that's what I really pride myself on.
I think that's really cool. You know? It seems like, you know, you talked about it giving you more confidence and stuff like that. But I think at the same time, it's a different realm, but it's also, I feel like, giving you more understanding of the people you're working with, right? Because you feel a little bit more of what they're going through.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, it has really honestly affected every area of my life. I lost half my size and also doubled my income.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm so much more confident and I'm so much more outgoing and I still have a way to go, but, you know, I don't feel horrible about myself all the time and I have more energy so I can do more and I feel like I can talk, and I probably would have never gone on a podcast before because I'm such an introvert and I'm more confident and fun and sassy and free and whatever, you know, so it's affected everything, really, you know, and I start to attract people that I want to attract into my business and my life and feel like I can have more, because that whole concept of you're not going to, you know, you won't reach what you don't think you can have kind of thing is really real. So it's like, if you can improve in any area of your life, everything else will be affected by that improvement.
I guess,
you know?
I'm looking at it, Zoe, like if you were to take a look at something you believed at 21 that you don't believe now, what would you say that is?
Gosh, that's a really good question. Put me on the spot. You know, I think I really, really believe that there were certain things that I couldn't change and that wasn't attainable. And I feel like what I've proven to myself is that I can do anything that I put my mind to. And I think that's important for people to know that. I think it's really easy to get sunk in the apathy of something when you've failed over and over repeatedly. I think people do get this idea that people can't change. Either they see it in themselves or they see people repeatedly failing to improve themselves or their conditions. And that's really not true. So people really can change. They really can. They have to decide and want to and then do it, but they really can.
We talked a lot about legacy today, Zoe. Like if we were to take a look far in the future and, you know, we could describe what that legacy is going to look like. Tell me what that legacy looks like.
You know, if you asked me this question, like, I don't know, months ago, the only thing I'd probably talk to you about was how I've really set my daughter up and my family, and whether I am short-lived for this earth, whether I leave soon or I'm around for a long time in this body, in this form, I feel like they're really well set up and I will have left my mark and I would have left the world better than when I came in it. But now when you're asking me this, I will tell you there's been so much evolution to my game and what I'm trying to accomplish. And I feel like what drives me now in my business is I'm really at this stage of the game. I still have my clients that I help with, but I'm actually helping teach and train people to do what I do for a living, you know? So I feel like my legacy is in the form of a totally new breed of financial consultants and advisors and people out there. And I'm so excited about my team and the people that I'm training. I just like kind of graduated a broker last month who's a fully self-sufficient, multiple six-figure earner who's helping people, and his family is so proud of him and I'm so proud of him. And I just really feel like I really am trying to change the industry, because I feel like the financial industry can be an area of a lot of greed and a lot of unethical practices and a lot of lack of care for people. And I feel like we need a new breed of people that are really just in there trying to help. I feel like also there's entrepreneurs out there that make a lot of money, but they are not good at managing it. And you really can spend more than you make and have really bad, you know, really bad habits and find yourself in not good situations, even if you're a great income earner. And then on the other side of things, yeah, some people are out there looking for opportunities to change their lives and have that unlimited income and have the flexibility. And so my legacy looks more like I got into this business because I want to make money with people,
that's
not on
amazing.
People. You know, that's my legacy. I'm excited about that because I've got 200 people in training right now nationwide, and I'm looking at increasing my ranks pretty fast.
Amazing. Zoe, this has been awesome today. For all the people that are listening to this, if they want to check you out, follow you, you know, maybe check out your services, where's going to be the best place to go?
My website, which is www.thezoeabbott.com, which is Zoeabbott. All of my social media is The Zoe Abbott. So follow me on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel, The Zoe Abbott. My Facebook page, The Zoe Abbott. Twitter, The Zoe Abbott. Pinterest, The Zoe Abbott. TikTok, The Zoe Abbott.
I love a good branding move because I'm at Jeremy Ryan Slate on all platforms. It's just smart because people can actually find you then.
You know what? I really wanted to just do Zoe Abbott. I felt a little bit weird about saying the, I don't know, does it come across pretentious, but honestly, it was the only thing. And then what worked out was that I could literally just have it across all platforms. So I was like, that is at least positive, because if you type that in any of those places, you should find me. But yeah, I mean, I'm all about fun. You know, there's one other thing I just wanted to say too, is like, this business has really given me freedom to just be who I am, how I want to do it. I really wanted to get into business for myself in finance and not just go get a stuffy job at like a financial firm, but like just do my own thing. And I figured out how to do it. And I am so excited about teaching other people to do that. But, you know, like ever since I've been able to create the financial freedom that I have for myself and everything, I've been able to do so many more things. Like I like to sing and it's a super big hobby of mine. So I did a cover and I posted on Facebook. I set up for a lot of my friends to share it so that it did pretty well, but I had 1.2 wow. million views on my Facebook. Yeah. And a lot of people didn't even know that I was like a semi-professional singer, you know, because I come from a very musical family and I love it. And it's so funny because it's like, I literally could make that into a career. Like one of my marketing advisors was like, hey, you know, you could turn this into a six-figure part-time income if you just captured 1% of your fan base that you created as a result of doing that. And the only reason I say that is about creating the life that you want. And you don't have to be defined by anything, by what you do or whatever. Like sometimes I just post, I have a humongous sunglass collection. I'm very into sunglasses.
I saw the Marc Jacobs yesterday.
Yeah. But I literally took a video of my closet, which shows my rows. Like people, like it actually looks like, and people have their things. Okay. I have clients that are retired NFL players that have 3,000 pairs of shoes. Okay. I think everyone is entitled to their own, whatever they like to do. But anyways, but the point is that like, I just want people to know that they can have whatever they want and they can have fun with it. And life is a game. And it's like, you don't have to be defined by what you do. There's so many elements and aspects to you. And I know that there's so many people out there that have actually tons of talent and they have other things that they love to do and it has nothing to do with what they do for work. And I always love people sharing that. And I try to be real and I try to just share everything about my life. You'll see my kid. I've got this really sassy, hysterical child who says really funny things, you know, so if you follow my stuff, you're going to see all that. So you really get to see me. And that's huge too, because I feel like a lot of people feel like they can't share these things about themselves, or maybe they don't think they're good enough or something like that. And I'm no Aretha Franklin or Christina Aguilera or whatever, but doesn't matter because I enjoy it and people seem to enjoy it as well. And so it's a part that I like to share, but I don't know. I just felt like I just wanted to add that because that's a huge thing. I think it's so important for people to just be real and be themselves.
With, you know, the name of the show being Create Your Own Life. We want people to do life their own way. You know, you're the artist of your own life and the palette that you make it to be. And that's really what it's all about.
That's awesome. I love it.
I guess then before I let you go, I guess talking about sassy kids, my 19-month-old has a broken cell phone that she plays with and she drops it and she looks at my wife and she goes, "Uck." And I'm like, oh no, my 1.5-year-old just dropped a fake F-bomb because she dropped her fake cell phone. Anyway.
So I have a couple moments that I don't feel proud of as a parent. I'm like, where did she hear that?
Amazing. Well, Zoe, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today on the Create Your Own Life show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for spending your time today with me and Zoe. I hope you learned a ton from this episode. You can check her out over at thezoeabbott.com, or you can get the show notes and anything mentioned in this episode over at jeremyryanslate.com/745. Also, as you know, I have a mission to help a ton of people, and you guys can actually help me do that by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the show over an Apple Podcast or Spotify, wherever you choose to listen, and actually pull out your mobile device right now, find the Create Your Own Life show, and leave us a rating and review and subscribe as well. And when you leave us a rating and review, I'll read it on the air. All right, everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. We have a really incredible calendar of shows for you guys coming up. As this past Friday, I did an interview, which is going to be publishing for you guys very soon. I interviewed Jonathan Goldsmith, who you guys may know as the most interesting man in the world from the Dos Equis commercials. Tomorrow, you can actually expect my interview with my favorite author, Brad Thor. He's written 20 different books, many of which became New York Times bestsellers. They are in the thriller genre, and he's got a pretty incredible character he's created, Scott Harvath. If you haven't heard of him, he's very similar to like a Tom Clancy or that type of writer. Absolutely one of my favorite writers. He, right up there with Dan Brown, which funny enough, they actually had the same literary agent, I found out in this episode. So you can expect that episode on Wednesday coming up, and just really excited for that one. So make sure you check that one out. Brad Thor on Wednesday. All right, everyone, have an amazing, amazing day. Now get out there and go create your own life.